services, Lavazzi and Boop1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 297. I'm Adam, and Craig, well, I can't even pronounce it, and here's Isabella Pearson.
Hi.
Debbie Melrose.
Why do you wear the short skirts of a bear? You're a grown woman.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Silence there, you bilge rats!
Today we're going to be... I don't know whether Mary's going to turn up or not, or whether she will or not. I think it's a bit of a letdown myself. What do you think, Isabella?
Very bad.
What punishments do you reckon we should level?
First, Mary, very bad.
What punishment do you reckon we should level at Mary for not showing up?
She wins.
What?
Yeah, she wins.
No, I don't think so.
She has to do the pod questions.
Okay, right then. Before we get on with the Highlanders, we were off air discussing certain things. I discussed that my mother asked me the other day what I'd like for my 50th birthday, and I said I'd like the celebrity dinner with the
celebrities
at Dimensions 2016, and for which she coughed up the cash, and I bought the ticket. So that is means I have a chance of having dinner with Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy, Peter Purves, etc., etc. Oh, Cammack, Anna Quills. That's what I'd like specifically
Peter
have dinner with.
Peter Purves.
Yes, Kirby then was talking about ConGT, that he's in charge of and has promised us Colin Baker.
In charge of Eddie.
And has promised us Colin Baker from start to finish on the podcast. Therefore, if we did do a special edition of You Won't Get This One on that particular show, I'll rephrase that. If Debbie did do a special edition of You Won't Get This One on that show, it would be quite interesting to actually enlist some people in the room.
We
convention
are in
goers.
The, yeah. Master.
I was trying to finish my blimmin' sentence.
We could do Colin Baker.
Speak.
That would be good.
You could do a Sixth Doctor quiz in which you can incorporate Colin Baker and some people within the auditorium that Kirby's promised us for that particular
show.
It's
a ballroom. Not an auditorium, it's a ballroom. We also have a very strict time limit of exactly 1 hour.
Yeah, but that's not bad, is it? We normally get a strict time limit with these celebrities of exactly 1 second.
Oh, yeah. Like when we had
Caitlin Blackwood. Have you seen Caitlin Blackwood? She looks exactly like a young Karen Gillan now. She's amazing.
We'll try to get her for more than a second at Con Kasturberis. She will be a guest there as well.
Good. So she'll be able to say, "Hi, this is Caitlin Blackwood, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast." Yes, you really are. Now I'm off to get a cup of tea. Shut up, Blimmin'. I'm not a parrot. Good grief. I've got an echo in here. Be quiet.
Still nothing from Mary. I've texted her twice.
It's appalling, isn't it? What do you think? Is there anything that's appalling, Isabella?
Yes.
Hmm. Do you think that Amy fell down to the ground? Anyway. We're going to be... Yes, as I say, ConGT could be a problem because Carter Melrose will have to try and wing it, the way things are going, and just work out how to record Skype onto a recording device.
Before, then. Don't worry.
I did show you the other day.
Yes, I know, and I remember mostly.
It's quite simple. You plug the earphone arrangement into the recording device via the line-in socket. The other recording device, you just record... Have it in front of you and record. You can tell which one's which because the one you're
be
quiet. I'm explaining to Debbie how to do a podcast. The one that you record your audio on has got a fluffy thing on the microphone. So
yes,
that one,
yes.
And you press both record buttons at the same time. Be very, very quiet. Wait for 30 seconds and then start recording. Now you can check on the Skype monitor recording device whether it's recording or not, because if it is recording, you'll see the recording levels going up and down.
Yes.
It's quite simple. Even Isabella could work out how to... Oh, no, it isn't. Actually, no, it's not.
Plug the headphone into the microphone jack. You plug the microphone into the headphone jack and then wonder why it doesn't work.
But anyway, if you recorded at your end as well, Kirby, just to be on the safe side, then we'd have double the chance of capturing. I've been told by Deb that I'm not allowed to join the show on the way back from the concert. However, I'm in charge, and you'll find that I'll be attempting to join the show on the way back from the O2.
Just find a quiet spot next to
Kirby, I'll be driving. So we're hoping that the show will be on when I've arrived back in Southampton and we're sort of in a point in which we are on the ferry or waiting to go on the ferry. Either way, I'll have my hands-free earphones attached to my telephone.
Does the ferry have wings and a magic wand?
You're really funny. Isn't Kirby funny? I'm being sarcastic, Isabella. Yeah. Right, so this week we're going to be reviewing The Highlanders. It would be nice if Mary could be bothered to turn up to do the same thing, but nevertheless we'll just have to carry on even though Isabella hasn't seen it. Right, it began with a bleak Scottish moor in which we see some rather Scottish looking
people.
Finishing my blooming sentences. In the middle of a little battle with some redcoats.
A little battle.
Yes, it's a bit gruesome because there's lots of killing and shooting and what have you. And then the TARDIS turns up, and Ben, Polly, and the Doctor leave. And Ben, Polly thinks, "Whoa, we're on Earth. This is interesting." Actually, they've really been very far. They went to one alien planet, but they've had all their adventures on Earth so far.
I was going to say, just different time era.
Because there's so many monsters on Earth.
Meanwhile, the Laird is not very well. What is up with him?
I think he's been wounded.
Wounded? Did somebody punch him in the stomach or something?
Dead.
It looks like it, yeah. They don't really say he's just been wounded.
He's got a bit winded. He's winded.
They say he's bleeding.
He's winded. So maybe he was playing football and the
ball
was
in the magic water.
Midriff. Yeah, so they're sort of hiding a little bit. And we've got Kirsty, played by Hannah Gordon. When I was a young person, that's quite a long time ago, I used to think Hannah Gordon was actually stunningly beautiful.
We're all young people.
I'm young. So
yes, and then we first see Jamie the Piper, who is a sort of an insignificant character of this stage of the story. So Ben, Polly, and the Doctor are sort of having a little poke around the battlefield, and the Doctor takes a hat and sorry, don't honestly, it's not a very good example of how to behave.
Isabella, a very good example.
Sorry.
Yeah, so they're picking up a few artifacts, and then
that's usually me.
Yes, and then the Doctor's throat is threatened by a Highlander with a sword. So they go back to the little hut. The Doctor, they find quickly the Doctor's a doctor and ask him to help the Laird. Jamie threatens another person. That's Jamie, the Doctor with a sword. Around the they seem to like threatening people with swords.
It's Alexander.
Going to kill someone.
It's son.
Going to kill the son. Going to kill the doctor.
I couldn't hear because Isabella was talking over what you were saying. So if she shuts her gob, I might actually be able to hear what you're saying. Sorry,
Sorry, I was getting Isla into her Frozen costume then.
What's that got to do with it, Alexander?
Alexander is the Laird's
son. It's her Frozen costume. Is it October 31st?
Yeah, you're hilarious. Isn't he hilarious?
No, I'm trying to wake up.
I'll tell you what, I've got a special job for you.
And do this, it's like a multitasking.
Good. I've got a special job for you, Isabella. See, underneath the table, there's Mr. Happy. And the bell.
Ooh,
you knocked it down there the other day. I'm very disappointed in you that you didn't bother picking it back up again after you knocked it off the table. Right, and so, yes. Shut up, I'm doing the synopsis. Can you get Mr. Happy? Thank you. Give me Mr. Happy, put it there. Where did I get up to? So they try and get the Doctor to sort of help the Laird, because he's not very well. And then some red coats turn up. Another little sort of skirmish occurs as the red coats enter the hut. And they take away...
Is the hut called Jabba?
They take away the Doctor and Ben, And Polly and Kirsty have gone out, haven't they, at this point, to get some...
Aren't they looking for magic water?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yes, they are looking for magic water. Yeah.
Yes, they are.
So they escape the kidnapping. And then we meet Gray and... what's his name? Perkins, wasn't it? Who are a bit scheming. They're scheming to... at this point, we didn't realise this, but they're scheming to nick people to turn them into slaves, take them to the plantations, etc., etc. So they think that Highlanders will work about three or four times harder than African slaves. So, Polly and Kirsty go into hiding and
have a little argument.
A few little arguments. Yeah, this is quite interesting because Polly on this story has gone from a bit, oh, it's all right, I'll make the tea, to oh, shut up, you stupid little girl. Oh, yeah, stop crying.
You just cry in this era.
That's what women usually do.
What, cry?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, so the doctor now pretends to be a German doctor, and he changes his name to Dr. von Wehr or something like that, wasn't it?
Yes.
Von
Wehr?
Doctor Who? That's what they said.
So, yeah, Polly and Kirsty sort of hide in a cave, and they have sort of a few little... And then there's a few little discussions, a lot of discussions between Polly and
Kirsty. Polly leaves and falls into a...
Yeah. Oh, no, she just falls. Did you hear her scream? Stop crying, Polly. Is that all you do? Oh, sorry, just fallen down.
Kirsty.
No, that's Polly this time. She just had a go at Kirsty.
She falls down to the ground.
Yeah. She just had a go at Kirsty for being a bit of a scaredy cat girl, and then she falls down a little hole. Some red coats turn up, including lovely old Algy. And they sort of befriend Algy a little bit in a very amusing way. The doctor, meanwhile, is continuing his masquerade as the German doctor. All of the Highlanders have now been captured. And did they go onto the ship at this point?
No, they go into Inverness Prison.
Ah, that's right, Inverness Prison. Yeah. I forgot about Inverness Prison. When I was listening to this a few years ago, I didn't imagine it, the way they painted it, the prison to be so dark. I imagined it to be a bit lighter, so it's quite a dark story.
It was a bit of a pit, wasn't it? So it looked like they'd just been sort of chucked into a pit.
Yeah.
More than anything. And it looked like, actually, the prison it was also doubled as the hold of the ship as well.
Yeah. Anyway, Finch.
I thought it was jail. G-A-O-L.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, Finch, somewhere along...
I've been talking!
Finch, somewhere along the line, gets some sort of...
Finch, yes.
Caught by Polly,
honestly.
Polly and Kirsty, and
he
Polly
does have very good episode.
Polly bullies him big time, but in a very amusing way.
Yes, but he fancies her because at the end he helps her, so it's working.
Yeah. I can't remember what they do. The way that she manipulated that situation was quite amusing, because he's sort of being all threatening. Oh, you'll hang for this, and blah, 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 blah. And she sort of... So, well, if I tell your colleagues about what's happened, you got captured by some girls, you know. Don't know how that's, you know, going to be for me. Oh, I'll hang you a bit quicker then, so you can't tell them, sort of thing, you know. But, hey. Yeah, so this character, Gray, he's quite a well-known British actor, isn't he, Debbie? Oh, right, I'll go back to sleep. But his name is quite similar to one of the writers of this story, the actual actor's name, but I can't remember what it was.
David Garth. Oh,
it's not that one. I thought it was someone completely different. Stop picking your nose.
No.
I'm
not. Neither am I.
So, David yes.
Garth, I don't recognise him.
The Doctor sort of overpowers Grey by putting a flag round his head. And then he gets tied up and has a gun waved at his face. And then the doctor shoves a bit of cloth down his throat to stop him from talking.
It's quite violent.
Yes.
Yes.
And then he sort of gets the better of Perkins and then gets away. All right, so I'm just flicking through. Oh, yeah, then he dresses up as a woman. He gets the isn't it the cook's clothes initially. She actually wears a few different costumes during this story.
Yes, it's great.
There's a wee drop of broth for Master Trask. Yes.
Are you right there, Debbie?
That's what he did.
I predict that Debbie will win.
Anyway, so the Highlanders are then taken to an Annabelle, which is a boat or a ship, whatever you want to call it, and Ben. Is this the one where Ben sort of put on a rope and dragged across the underside of the hull? Or is that the next episode?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he escapes. He does the Houdini trick.
Yes.
It doesn't always work, apparently, but there you go.
Yeah, not sure if that is like that episode or not. I'm just, that's episode two. Right, episode three. If it is, if we see Ben swimming away, then I'm right. Just checking. No, it's not. That was just
hard to see him actually. No, tell you what that was. Because all we have is still pictures.
Yeah, well, yeah, no. What actually happened there was they were just demonstrating a dead body being sort of put over the side and saying, well, this is what's going to happen to anybody who doesn't.
Except it's implied that the guy is not dead until they throw him overboard.
Yes, yeah, they just tied him up. Yeah, definitely.
Fair enough. So meanwhile, the Highlanders are all under the deck of the ship and in the hold in a way, and they get a bit sort of funny towards Ben, don't they? And because he's English, and but the Laird stands up for Ben that saves his life. Polly, meanwhile,
the Laird who hasn't spoken in two episodes finally has a speaking
role. He's getting better.
So meanwhile, Polly is really sort of good in this story. She's sort of totally in control of
this is her story.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is her time to shine. Very Amy.
She catches up with Finch again and manipulates him into doing what she wants him to do. The doctor is dressed up as an old lady.
Finch.
Yeah, the doctor's dressed up as an old lady and looking quite amusing. And Finch is looking really hacked off when he sees that Polly's there again and sort of goes along.
Yeah, he goes, oh no.
And they're flirting with him big time, which is really amusing. Yeah, so what's the captain called of the ship? I can't remember his name now.
Trask. What I was saying.
Yeah, he's a really good character too.
He came straight out of Treasure Island.
Yeah,
definitely.
So I think I got the feeling that Perkins would just go along with anybody who was in charge of him. So he's quite, he was just very manipulatable.
That was me.
Well, don't, please. So, yeah, somewhere along the line, Doctor and Polly and Kirsty meet up again and hide in a little sort of barn for a bit, don't they? While they think up another little plan to get back in and release the Highlanders. And meanwhile, Ben, like I said, that's where he gets dragged underneath the boat. And
who's clicking?
Me. I'm just clicking through the pages because there's quite a lot of photos. Yeah?
Oh, you're doing the photo thing.
Yes, I am. Okay. Just to remind me of the story. Yeah, no, that imagine cool. There was a lot of stick that the deadly assassin got when that episode of the doctor being drowned at the end of the episode, and then you had to wait a week to see how he didn't get drowned. It's a bit like that here because obviously at the end of the episode, you see Ben getting put underwater, and he's got to hold his breath for a week.
How is he going to hold his breath for a week? And then he's dead.
But he uses, like he said, the Houdini trick, and you think he's just about to get shot by someone, but in fact it's the doctor in one of his latest disguises.
He tells Polly it's the Houdini trick, and she said, well, there's more to it than that, surely. He goes, well, yeah, and that's it. He just sort of leaves.
But it's interesting to note that the doctor himself used that excuse in the Planet of Spiders. Oh, you haven't seen it. Oh, shut up then. And this time the Doctor's got a new disguise with a great big tash. Yeah, anyway, Ben admitted he's a bit cold and hungry. And the Doctor... but he's quite happy to be reunited with Polly. The Doctor, meanwhile, manages to get himself onto the ship and... yeah, what did he do? it was sort of to do with this contract, didn't he? And he didn't he sort of there was a didn't he nick the contract or something like or get the contract forged or something like that, which led to him. Oh, that led to the mutiny, didn't it? There was a mutiny on the ship. And the sailors that weren't Highlanders were taken over very easily. They seemed to be more sailors than Highlanders, yet they were quite happy to be taken over or mutinized at the end of that story.
Trask was the one who was who'd mutinied and had taken over the crew.
Hmm.
So the captain, the original master of the ship, was part one of the mutineers, so I think that's why they went, okay, no problem, we'll keep our jobs instead, you know.
So they decided to go to France for some reason. Quite a long way from where they actually were, in Inverness, France.
France was a ally of the Highlanders.
Oh, okay.
Don't you know your history?
Shut up. But Jamie, for some reason, decides not to go with them. I think it might be because he got a contract with Doctor Who for a bit.
He did film a scene where he stayed behind.
Oh, okay. But he didn't stay behind. He thought they'd need a guide to get them through to the TARDIS. But they entered the TARDIS and end of the story, really. Right then, Highlanders. Well, it's only four episodes. I think that was about right, really, for this particular story. Would have been
absolutely
right. Drag, have it been six. But yeah, I quite enjoyed it. It's quite a nice little run. But I love the way that Polly, being a female character, was allowed to do a bit of a Clara and really sort of drive the story on. I don't know, that means we probably think that Debbie won't like this story because we've got a female character at the centre of a Doctor Who story. But never mind. I thought that was really good. So, and innovative that the female character shows a bit of oomph in a 1960s Doctor Who story. All in all, I absolutely loved getting the chance to watch this story. And yeah, it's not quite as good as last week, obviously, because Power of the Daleks is incredible. But still really, really good. What do you think, Isabella?
Well, it did look really good.
You haven't seen it!
I just watched it through with you.
That's not the same.
Yeah.
What did you think then, Debbie?
Better to watch Underwater Menace.
Underwater Menace?
Yeah,
I think it's a story called Underwater Menace, but he said Minis, because Americans can't speak properly. Have you noticed that?
No, we can't.
There was another word Americans said really weird the other day. Well, I should have written it down. Yeah, sorry, Kirby. Debbie, what did you think?
I liked it. I know you think, oh, because there was a female lead.
Yeah, but there was a female character who sent the story.
I'm with the Doctor. I like the fact that it was sort of a fair share when they all sort of split up. You had Ben down with the Highlanders, you had Polly with Kirsty, you had the Doctor being very brilliant at everybody. And he was just, he really, even because this is still just like my second full episode of Troughton, and it was just brilliant.
Yeah,
that's what I meant. But, you know, he was just. I really, really enjoyed it, and I would have loved to have seen this one. But yeah, if it had gone to six episodes, it would have dragged. Historicals aren't necessarily the best ones, but
this is the last historical until the Fifth Doctor.
I know. I was about to say. I gave it because I haven't really rated the historicals brilliantly, but I thought, oh well, you know, it's in Scotland. It's a bit about Bonnie Prince Charlie. And I just thought it was great the way that they kept moving the story along. You didn't get bogged down in, oh, God, I'm wallowing in prison, or, oh, I'm trying to get these contracts signed because I'm so mean at trafficking these Highlanders to Barbados, you know, that sort of thing. Everyone sort of played well, and it just kept going. It moved the story along really well. But I did feel at the end, when Jamie suddenly disappeared, then reappeared, was a bit like they'd suddenly decided he was going to be a companion instead of just letting him go.
Hey, Debbie, let me you know, that's what actually happened.
You could tell, and it was just like, okay, hello, Jamie. Oh, you're coming with us? Yeah, all right then. It was quite funny because nowadays they work the fact that they're going to have someone as a potential companion into the storyline, and they travel with the Doctor? But this really did feel like, oh well, he's not going to take anyone from this era. Oh yes, I am, and you knew it was coming. But it could have been, you know, another time when they'd gone back the way they did it all the way through, and then suddenly he came with them. I liked that. So it was, yeah, I really, really liked this story. Not as good as last week, obviously, with the cut-out Daleks, but, you know, I enjoyed it.
Kirby, what did you think?
I loved this story. Excuse me. I don't know why my voice is doing this. I absolutely love this. I knew nothing about this story coming into it other than Jamie somehow came in from his historical era. And it was a surprise to me. I was expecting another boring old historical that I wasn't going to be interested in. And I could not wait at each cliffhanger to continue on. It was so good. And I love the second Doctor. He's brilliant and so much different. I can see how Patrick Troughton really saved the show because of his personality and humor, and it was just marvelous.
Thank you. Well, actually,
I wonder how Mary liked it.
Well, we won't know, will we? She couldn't be bothered to turn up. So I suppose we better move on to feedback. Very sadly,
no, it's got to be for feedback.
Very sadly, no feedback from Ian Kirk. So someone's upset him, and it's probably me, but I don't know what I've done. Sorry, Ian. Whatever I've done, sorry.
Isn't that 2 weeks in a row?
It is. I'm sorry. Let me get my words in. Maybe I'm only surmising that maybe he's got something big planned for the 300th episode, and that's why he hasn't done anything. So fingers crossed, that's the reason. Not that Debbie's upset. I mean, I've upset him. So we better move on to feedback.
Hi there, this is Paul Gobert from Guernsey with my feedback for The Highlanders, Patrick Troughton's second story. I didn't really enjoy it.
What?
I found it a little bit on the all-over-the-pace side. I think my main problem with it is that, because I'm watching it from a reconstruction, I'm just not getting on with the reconstructions very well at all. It's an interesting way of watching the old series that we no longer have available, but I do find them very hard going and a bit of a struggle. I tend to lose interest a little bit partway through. Not sure why, just doesn't quite click for me. So, yeah, a few of these episodes could be quite tough for me during the Troughton era. But hey, I've never seen them before, so hopefully I enjoyed Power of the Daleks. So hopefully we'll see how it goes. I don't know what you guys think of the reconstructions at all. It'd be interesting to hear your thoughts on it. I found this a little bit odd. Patrick Troughton doesn't really get to be the Doctor very much because he's busy being a French doctor, a German possibly.
German.
I'm really not sure of the accent he's using a lot of the time. Polly and Ben seemed quite good. Get quite into it. It was good to see Jamie arrive. I've liked Jamie from all the stories I've seen previously. I find him a very honest character as such. I find him very he is a man of his time, and he's very I want to say simple, but simple is probably not the right word. He sees things with an innocent light, he's very amazed by things. He's very distrusting of people as well. I like Jamie a lot. I'm looking forward to more of his stories. Yeah, so not a big fan of this one for me. It's no web planet. It's not that bad. but yeah, I think I'm struggling a little bit with the reconstructions. We shall see how we go. All right. Thank you very much. And speak to you soon for The Underwater Menace.
Thank you, Paul. Obviously, at least Underwater Menace isn't a complete reconstruction. We've got a couple of actual episodes to watch during that
did
one.
You, which reconstruction did you find?
I only watched Loose Cannon.
Yeah, because I really enjoyed the fact that it was Jamie narrating, you know, Fraser Hines.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
I like that one. I loved that. I watched that, and it really helped it go along.
I need to find that one, because the reconstruction I've got is the one that was on the DVD. It's horrible.
I found it on Daily Motion.
So what DVD? I didn't know there was a reconstruction on a DVD.
Underwater Menace? Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Highlanders.
Highlanders.
What is the matter with you, Kirby? Have a word with him, Isabella. Now, that means doesn't mean sit still and stretch your arms out. I mean, have a word with him, tell him off.
No.
No, I've been...
I don't know who made the reconstruction.
I watched was Loose Cannon.
Of the Highlanders.
I basically got the one, you know, the narration with Fraser Hines narrating what's going on, and it really moved it along. I'd definitely recommend that.
Oh, yeah. I have a source for my reconstructions. I don't know where my source gets them.
It's probably out the cupboard where you keep all the other sources.
Yes.
But as I was trying to say, and as Paul pointed out, he asked us what we thought of reconstructions. Now, me personally, I've never really sort of delved into reconstructions before we actually embarked on this particular journey. It's the first time I've ever done it. And,
How did you do the journey before?
I just listened to the audio versions. So this is the first time I've actually seen these in any form, a sort of pictorial form. So it's a new thing for me. And although it's not ideal, it's certainly enjoyable, and more enjoyable than I expected it would be. I think you can get into the story really well. It just paints a better picture in your mind. Occasionally there are moments where you just hear no sound and there's no subtitles on the screen. Those bits that you're talking about, Debbie, would be quite well described by Fraser Hines, for instance, on this particular audio reconstruction. But I will now, in future, if we ever watch Doctor Who in any particular order, be happy to use a reconstruction to relive the story. I think they're pretty, pretty good. I think well worth. In some ways, it makes me glad we've got Web Planet, because I think a reconstruction of Web Planet would be quite terrible.
But, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you think of reconstructions, Debbie Melrose? Because you've never really watched them before either.
No, some of them I struggle with, but I seem to have found these narrated reconstructions with stills and the odd little bit of footage. I feel it's really sort of, it's opened it up again for me, because I was really struggling, say, with like Marco Polo and things like that. And
Marco!
I had problems just trying to keep my concentration and that sort of thing, but I found that this on finding them on Daily Motion with the audio narration has been brilliant. And it's been a godsend to fans, because I think it's wonderful, because it kept it going, kept the story going. Yes, there were long moments where you were seeing nothing but images of the moor, you know, the Highlands. But Fraser Hines was telling you what was going on, what was happening, what that noise was. You know, if you heard someone put something down and says, "Old Polly puts down the bucket and looks crossly at Kirsty," that sort of thing. And it was really good.
Yeah, you had the text version of that on screen, and the one I watched. That it would explain little things like that.
Mm. Okay. But it was nice to have someone actually speaking as well, you know, so it was just, it just kept you going. You didn't have to sort of be reading the subtitles all the time. It was just like you were watching something just with audio description, and it was, I enjoy them when they're reconstructed like that. I find the Isla.
You find the Isla.
We have a consignment of magic clips that have just fallen across the floor. The reconstructions with, say, the animation are still up in the air about that. I'm not sure how I feel about it, because sometimes they'd be really good, but sometimes they're just like, oh, well, I'm not sure I really like that. You know, it's, if a whole story is done like it's annoying. But, yeah, other than that, I've been lucky, because I really do trawl through the internet now to find a decent version if they aren't available.
So what do you think of reconstructions, Kirby?
The ones I've seen so far have been pretty good, and I don't mind them that much, although there have been ones I've fallen asleep during. Now, as I understand it, we've got a story coming up in a few weeks where they didn't take any pictures at all. And so we've got, like, the entire story is going to be constructed out of 7 or 8 pictures. Oh. So...
Well, that'll be...
which I'm not looking forward to that one.
No. That'll be more or less like having an audio version of it. But we'll see how we get on with that one. Okay, we've got more feedback. Like I say, not from...
No, it's for feedback.
Family member of the show, Ian Kirk. But we have got this one. I should really pass this on to Debbie because it's a read. Oh, it's, can you read stuff, Isabella?
Yes. Go on, Emma. Of course I can read.
Oh, he's there. Make use of her.
I pushed the Highlander.
Shut up. Let her speak. Go on.
I watched the Highlanders reconstruction.
Stop fidgeting. All you can hear is creaking. She's trying to do it sitting still.
It's a chair.
Yeah, I know, but you're creaking it. Shush.
It always creaks.
No, that's it's her chair, not mine.
This is Wednesday.
Shut up!
Is there no school?
Just get on and read the feedback. Who's it from, anyway?
It's from Andy Nunny.
Oh, well, go on then.
I watched the Highlanders reconstruction, and, well, it isn't the best. The fact that there is a minimal footage does not help. The dialogue often does not match the pictures used, and it is necessary to rescue the same images. Reuse the same
images
frequently due to the paucity.
Paucity, I don't know if I've heard that word before. Thanks, Andy.
Paucity of available shots. It is far from a classic. Really, the only two reasons from remembering it are the introduction of Jamie and that it was the last entirely historical story until the Fifth Doctor's Black Orchid.
Someone mentioned that earlier.
There was a reason for this. Frankly, there were only the whole boring.
They were on the whole boring.
They were on the whole boring.
Friends there did.
No, they weren't.
The original remit of educate and entertain had been allowed to wither away. I doubt that when Russell T. Davies rebooted the series, he contemplated this genre for too long. Overall, the characters were stereotypes. English Millard, Manacle Scott. So that is where the lovely Dawn gets her temper from. Sailors straight out of Robert Louis Stevenson's, and Scotland being nothing but cold, bleak moors. Sorry, Jeff Waddle, but the Costa Brava, it ain't.
Costa Brava, dear.
Costa Brava. I think this story did return. It would be... Bought, watched, and then gathered dust.
Bought, watched, then gathered dust on the shelves.
Okay.
Bought, watched.
More interestingly, on Sunday, the aforementioned Lovely Dawn, Stormageddon, and I ventured into London to do the London walks. TARDIS on Thames.
That's not taking the mickey out of an American would say.
Shut up.
Sorry, Isabella.
It's okay. To by the river walks. Who said romance is dead? We met. As well as the sundry strangers, Tim Drury and Alan T. Butcher.
Yay.
The walk is a location spotting session. It starts at Westminster Tube Station and ends near London Bridge Station. All walks start in enclosed tube stations. On the way, we visited locations from the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 9th, 10th, and 11th Doctors. So there is something for all. I was available to guess some of them.
No. I was...
able to guess some of them. Well, when you start by walking across Westminster Bridge, it is pretty obvious and very funny story about the Ogrons. I had heard a version of it, but it still made me chuckle. But a new piece came by the Globe while standing on the same spot. We went from 2007 to 1977. It's a family-friendly only one set of sleep
steps
to
negotiate
the look of Stormageddon's face as he hurtled down then in the buggy. All right, yes, I
didn't really let him go as he's going down steps, so it could be a bit dangerous.
Yes, I'm joking. I won't spoil it. Tim did some recording, so may well mention it on Tim's take on.
Yes, I was going to say that Tim put some video out on YouTube about this.
Yeah.
Plug. The walk itself is run a few times a year, led by Joellen Dixon, or John as he is also
Joellen,
known.
Joellen, isn't it?
Could be Joellen.
Yes, Joellen, one of my favourite names.
He appeared in One Man, Two Governors at the National Theatre and published Conceived in a Dalek. Not yet, but I haven't searched Amazon. To find out more, go to London Walks website, walks.com. I believe it'll run again in May and July on one Sunday in 8 months and on a Saturday night in September. We all thoroughly enjoyed it, so go to. You even get jelly babies.
Oh, I've got some jelly babies. Thank you, move along. Yeah, I've got some jelly babies.
I've had jelly babies.
Yeah, but no, they've got some special ones. They're berry jelly babies, so they're the red ones and the sort of dark purple ones.
Have you been eating the
Hang on a minute, guys. I'm going to have to leave the room for a minute. I'll be back in a second.
I thought I heard Isla being sick.
Run as well. Yeah, I'll post a link to Tim Drury's 36-minute coverage of that Doctor Who locations walk. I heard a baby crying during that. I guess it was Stormageddon. I did not realize that Andy was on the same walk.
Ah, well, I will say
this is the first time he mentioned it.
I did publish a link to Stephen Shabansky's brilliant video in which he sort of recreated the War Machines a little bit. Did you see it? It was really, really good.
No, was this a galley?
Well, no, it's filmed mainly in London and in Wales, London and Cardiff, but it was all he sort of linked Wotan, or him and his friend, I can't remember his friend's name, linked Wotan to the galley, and they did a little bit of acting and stuff like that. So I posted it on the 20 Megabyte page. It's really good.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Please pay attention.
I'll post this one from Tim Drury on here.
Yeah, it's called Radio Free Scaro, Gallifrey 1 is Required. It's on YouTube.
Oh,
really,
okay.
Really
it's downloaded to my phone. I haven't watched it yet.
It's good. I'll tell you what, if you get a chance, listeners, try and have a look at that on YouTube, or go to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which you can join. Now then, Isabella, recorder-wise, I didn't mean to play that piece of music. Play a bit of music you're familiar with. So go and find a bit of music you've been practicing.
Okay.
Right, she's been practicing.
She's been practicing. She's got an exam coming up, so I was advising her to play the piece of music she's been practicing for an exam rather than the Danny Boy sheet music, which she hasn't been practicing and would probably find a bit of difficulty in playing. So anyway, by the way, Kirby's probably a bit unaware of this, but a recorder is relevant to Doctor Who at this stage.
I have multiple recorders. Good grief.
Yeah, I've got two. One's recording your audio and Ron's recording ours.
Oh, ha, 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 ha.
Right, she's going to take a bit of time putting this down together. So at this point, I'll have a look at the 20 Megabyte page and see if we've got anything. I've got Kirby Butler Sloan posted, recording Wednesday 17th at 10 a.m. British time. Mary obviously did bother looking at that. And,
Where is she?
I don't know.
So Andy Nunny said, no, not now, we're not. Master is going to God's Own City, but I wasn't because I got the date wrong. I'm sorry. It's the 21st of March, so we could have done it on Monday. Oops. Sorry, I was just saying boop because Andy Nunny sent feedback. Kirby Bartlett Sloan said, I like how feedback has C translation under Andy's boop. It's true. That's appropriate too. And Kobe Butler, as I said, 2 weeks in a row with no Ian the Kirk. Oh, you just wrote that. For God's sake. Apparently there was a bit of a hoo-ha because somebody on the Isle of Wight posted a picture of a dinosaur in Godzilla.
Yeah, we got the blame. Did you see that?
Godzilla. I don't know where this dinosaur
was being posted all over the place. Yeah, I saw it on a lot of pages.
I think it's likely that this dinosaur had been transported from Black Gang China and someone for a laugh decided to plonk it in the middle of the road. But there's not
explanation. Was it from Black Gang or not?
Well, it's
that,
likely. I don't think
that looks like it's from Black Gang.
I don't think that there are any other dinosaurs on the Isle of Wight, are there? No. Debbie, you know about dinosaurs.
Only slightly.
Oh, there are some dinosaurs at Dinosaur Isle. But that's more dinosaur bones and things that have been found on the Isle of Wight.
But that was definitely Black Gang China.
Because I think this neck of the woods in Britain is called Jurassic. What's it called, Debbie? It's Jurassic something, isn't it?
Jurassic World.
Pardon? Jurassic Coast. World. That's it, yeah. No, Jurassic Coast. Basically, there's parts on the south coast, including the Isle of Wight, that you can find lots of dinosaur bones.
Until
and
the
cockles.
Entire island falls into the sea, like a. Well,
that will happen eventually. Are you familiar with that piece?
Yes.
Okay, right then. What's it called?
Evening Prayer.
Isabella will now play a piece of music on her recorder called... What's it called?
Evening Prayer.
Evening Prayer.
Okay, right then. I'll just sit back and listen. Is trying to resist the temptation to criticise because she's a far more experienced and qualified recorder player than you, Isabella. But I'm going to stop her from doing that because I think it's very good. Thank you very much. Right then.
I'm not going to be critical, but
I'm safe. Winding them up. Have you noticed this? I do love winding them all up.
Yes.
Really? I hadn't noticed.
Great fun. Right. It's now right, time.
I posted the link to the TARDIS walk thing.
Yes, thank you for that. It's now time... Pardon? Yes, okay. It's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
I won't.
Now, this could be interesting because apparently Isabella is going to be reading the blooming question, so this could take a very, very long time. But never mind. And she'll probably
blooming onions?
And she'll probably be reading the answers as well, so we'll be struggling to get through them.
I predict Debbie will win.
Hang on, I haven't started that bit. I haven't even written the names down. Right, look. Just talk amongst yourselves a little while I sort myself out. And Isabella puts her music stand away.
I would have predicted Mary would win, except she decided not to show up.
You wouldn't normally predict Mary will win. Oh, now someone's left the door open and all the cold air is rushing in and my goose pimples appearing on my knees at the moment.
Can I give an answer ahead of time? No.
Well, you could do, and if it's wrong, then you'll get a points deducted. Right then, so you've already predicted that Debbie will win, so I'll just put...
I predicted Kirby will win.
You're not involved in this, Isabella, apart from reading the question. She just dropped my iPad on the floor.
You dropped on the floor for a minute.
Did you not see it on the chair there? It was lit up and everything.
Well, you're the one who must see.
Right, Debbie, who do you think's going to win?
You.
You're funny.
No.
All right, me then.
Too late.
Yes.
Sorry, you can't change your mind.
Right, fair enough.
Right. And I don't get to predict... Oh, I do, don't I? I get to predict who thing's going to win. Well, it's got to be Debbie. It's got to be Debbie. With no Mary in the proceeding, it's got to be Debbie. That's my prediction.
It might be Kirby.
It's about Debbie Bong.
I doubt it.
Do you... Mrs. Pedantic. Yes, I spelled Debbie wrong, but never mind. Doesn't matter. I knew what I wrote. Okay, it's about...
When we have stories that are on DVD with complete info text, and when we have making of videos and all that stuff, those are the ones I'm more likely to win. I was just lucky.
Right, what you just said there, Kirby, was totally irrelevant, so we're just going to move on to the questions. Shut up! The first question goes to Kirby. Go on then, what's your name again?
Okay, right. Who came out of TARDIS first?
The TARDIS?
Who came out of the TARDIS first?
Polly.
Oh, I've got to do this if I... Good, point to me. Anybody else?
Ben?
Oh, well done. Do you want me to do the bell?
I got it.
Oh, don't forget the jokers, everybody. Right, Debbie, your question. Stop Jarvis, pressing that. Right. No, you see what you've gone and done there?
Told you I was going to lose.
It's the first question.
Okay. What did Ben think the place sounded like?
Can I play my joker?
Yes.
Sounds like the cup final.
Oh! I nearly pressed... Do that again. I nearly pressed the wrong thing then. Yeah, sorry, Debbie. Yeah, carry on.
The cup final.
You're rubbish at the bell! That's what it's supposed to sound like. So I'll do the bell. Thank you very much.
Ding.
Yeah, no, only one ding. I didn't... Oh,
ding, 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 ding.
Right,
ding, ding,
Kirby. Kirby.
What were the first words Jamie ever said to the doctor?
Excuse me?
Say it again, Isabella.
What were the first words Jamie ever said to the doctor?
To the doctor, or the first words he said?
Oh, for God, right, should I call him a duh-duh? Because it was quite clear in the question, wasn't it? I'm running out of patience.
Give him a duh-duh.
Oh, that was half a duh. One more chance.
Fine, one more.
I don't know.
Okay, Debbie.
Hang on.
Can you give it a go, Debbie?
You go on, Debbie. No.
No.
Hey.
The answer was careful like.
Thank you. Yeah, careful like.
Careful like.
Because he puts a thought up to his throat and goes careful like. All right, Debbie.
Yes.
What did Alexander call the doctor, Polly, and Ben?
Sassanax.
Get 1 point for that.
1 point.
Ah.
Kirby, do you want to get the other part of it?
What? I didn't even understand what she said.
Say it again, Sassanac. Isabella.
Sassanac. My husband likes to call me a Sassanac.
What did Alexander...
Shut up and listen so she can be... Oh, God, I'm losing the plot of this thing. There's only two of me. They can't even begin to do it. Even still, I can't believe it.
Is Adam having a breakdown live on the podcast?
Okay, Gabby, I'm reading this for you.
One more time, all points deducted. Oh, you got any points, have you?
What did Alexander call the doctor, Polly, and Pen?
That's
a nice. Right, the point deducted for. Oh, no, that was you, wasn't it?
That was me, yeah.
Yeah, she's.
Right, point deducted.
Right, I don't know.
Point deducted. I'm having that one now.
What? What's a Sassanac?
It was Sassanac and Dragoons.
Sassanac Dragoons was the answer, but as you're being overly pedantic and not listening to the question and that making that question last ridiculously long length of time, point deducted.
Okay, right.
I don't even know whose question it is now.
Why?
Because she already answered the question and said Sassanac. I gave her a point for it. Said, what's the other part of it? Asked you the question. You didn't give an answer. Then she went back and said the same answer again. I've deducted a point.
Adam?
Yes?
Your audio's going a bit funny.
Whose is?
Yours.
Because I'm shouting!
No.
Okay.
Ah,
Kirby.
Okay. An English person.
English person in the derogatory.
Kirby's your question.
Stop speaking into the microphone because you'll make it go...
No, that was my question.
You just need to speak this.
No, it was my question,
distance.
But you got offered it as a second go.
It was Gabby's question. You couldn't be bothered to answer the go. I gave you a chance, and you were very, very awkward, unusually, I have to say. Very unusually, he said sarcastically. Mm. Very awkward. Anyway, whose question is it now? Let's see where we are.
That was
Kirby's question. Kirby.
Okay. Right. Who is in charge of the red coat group?
Is definitely going.
Shush! I can understand him just fine. I think it's Lieutenant Finch.
Well, that was a bit quiet, wasn't it?
I'm sorry, it's Lieutenant.
Okay.
Yes, Lieutenant Finch. No. I'll let you have the lieutenant bit, don't worry. Yeah, sorry, Debbie?
Yeah, we ignorant Americans, right?
Thank you. You see what I have to put up with? Stop nodding your head. Nodding heads does not work in audio presentations.
Debbie.
Yes.
What was Kirsty's idea for rescuing the men from the gallows?
You won't get this one.
You can, but more.
Ah, for God's sake. Point reinstated and an extra point with that one. Right then, so Kirby.
Okay.
Master.
What legal jargon did the doctor quote?
Did the doctor what?
Quote.
Article 17, Aliens Act
1730. Yay!
Bonus point. Now, one, two, three. Yes.
Master?
You should have said Joker on that. You would have had a bonus point.
Oh, sorry.
And you had 6 points for that one.
I keep forgetting about the Joker because that was the answer I was going to say when I said, could I say an answer ahead of time?
You're forgetting about the Joker.
Yeah, you would have got 6 points if you'd played your Joker.
Yep.
Well, I need to lose, you see.
Oh, somebody at the door. Okay, I'm going to pause there because there's somebody at the door.
That was so quiet.
I just love having my painting gear. Come on in.
Honestly, I look like I don't know what.
Sorry about that.
The things I have to put up with. Right then, who was that last question for? Oh, yes.
That was Kirby.
Did you notice the delight in which he answered that question?
Yes, because I already had it highlighted.
Any question that requires a degree of pedantry.
Okay. Right.
Well, Debbie.
Yes.
I think it's touch wood. Oh, damn it, I missed. Where were the prisoners going to be sent?
Good grief.
I know that one.
To Inverness.
Okay, let's have a score update, shall we?
Yep.
Right.
Oh. Debbie wins.
In last place with 4 points, Dan. Ooh. In the second place with 5 points is Kirby. And in the lead with 8 points is Debbie.
What a surprise. Right, this is Kirby's question.
I just got a text message. Unfortunately, it wasn't from Mary. It was from my credit union. Yes.
Okay. Right. Kirby. Your question, Kirby.
Wait, who's question? Me?
Yours.
Okay. Yes.
It was my question.
What?
No, was it?
How can it be your question? We just had the question something about Inverness.
Where were the prisoners going to?
Yeah, that was yours.
Sorry,
yeah.
The cats are fighting. I got distracted.
Okay. Kirby.
Master.
What did Kirsty's family use the cave for as a hideout from?
Because they hid in there because of cattle raids.
Could you press the bell properly? Good grief. And you should have played your Joker. Run in. Debbie.
I keep forgetting about the Joker.
Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
Who does Kirsty's gold ring belong to?
Prince Jolly.
Hmm. Who? So rephrase the question to who did Kirsty say her gold ring belonged
to? Her father, the Laird.
Yeah,
you're
getting the hang of it.
There.
Right, that's Gabby.
Why did you put wah?
Because I didn't realise at that stage that stage I wrote the question that she was lying. Okay, come on.
Who did Polly and Kirsty fall into?
What? Who? Did you say who? Did you say who? Where?
What did...
Yeah, it's a T missing there.
Oh, right. What did Polly and Kirsty fall into?
It's basically an animal trap.
Can you ding that bell properly?
That was better.
I keep forgetting about the darn...
You do, don't you? Debbie.
Okay. Yes. What did Finch call Kirsty and Polly while scuttling his troops.
Scolding
his troops for not catching them.
I know.
Let Debbie answer it first, Kirby, and then we'll come to you.
Rebels?
Nope. Go on in, Kirby.
Couldn't catch a couple of winches, could ya?
Oh, God. Yeah. Do you want me to do the bell?
No, I want to try.
Right then, so it's Kirby's question.
Okay.
Master?
Why did the doctor cry down with King George?
Yes, he did. I don't know specifically why.
You ran out of time.
Go on in, Debbie.
Was it just a cause of distraction?
Hey! Too late. Second answer. You can come up with your first. It was correct. It was because he liked the echo, but you didn't say that first, did you?
But the answer was a couple of wenches. He liked hearing the echo.
Yeah, he liked hearing the echo. With King George. Debbie would have got it right if she said that first, but Deb seems to think she can go read a load of different answers out and hope that eventually it will be the right one.
I knew I'd already lost.
Okay.
No, here we go. She reads part of the book of excuses.
Right, now.
Right,
Kirby.
Yes.
Master.
How did Jane...
Sorry.
How did Jamie suggest the doctor treat the lad?
Lad.
Excuse me. Say it.
Oh, do it.
I'm consuming Diet Coke this morning to try and wake up.
How did Jamie suggest that the doctor treat the lad?
To bleed him, of course. Bloodletting.
See, when I asked the question... what a surprise. Still didn't use a joker. Go on then, Debbie.
Okay. How much money did the girls steal from Finch?
20 guineas.
That was better.
Never seen so much.
Right, Kirby.
What did Polly observe that Finch was fond of?
Joker.
Yep.
Hanging.
Took a bit of time for him to think of Debbie.
Debbie.
Okay, whatever.
What was Finch's first name?
Algernon.
Or Algy.
Algy, dear.
You only get 1 point despite the million bings you just got there, right? Right, score update then.
Algy probably hangs around at the bottom of streets and turns
Algy
green.
On top.
The scores. In last place of only 7 points is Adam. In second place with 16 points is Kirby. And in the lead with 9... Wait, what? How many?
Oh, I don't know. You're looking at them.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Debbie's second place with 14.
Do you want me to do this quiz?
No. Debbie's in second place with 14 and Kirby's in the lead of 16.
No, I can't.
Right. Kirby.
You are.
Master.
Your question, I believe.
What question? Okay.
Don't drop me iPad.
What ailment did the doctor invent for Perkins?
Oh, I know, yes.
Okay, you have it.
Right, Debbie, what's
print
your answer?
Blindness.
What?
What?
Print blindness. Nope. You read too much.
Excellent.
The correct answer was headache.
I didn't invent the headache.
I'm not being funny, but yes, he did. He invented it because he didn't actually have a headache. I'm sorry, but the answer... Right, I'm going to point to Doctor. She's arguing with me.
It's print blindness.
No. Right, point deductive for both of you. That's a point. No one bothered that. Can't be deductive point.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
No, actually, if I give myself a point. No, point for me, for both of you, for being awkward. Right, then. So the answer is headache because he didn't have a headache and he convinced him that he did. So that's the illness that he invented
he gave
for him.
Him a headache. He
right.
His head on the desk.
Whose question was that for?
That was for Kirby.
Right, so Debbie's question.
Okay. who wanted to attack Ben for being an English spy?
What's his name? God. Master William Mackay.
I'll give her up.
It says Will Mackay. It says there, look. Yeah. Will Mackay. So why were you considering not giving her a ding for that one?
Yeah, why didn't I get my ding?
Right, yes. Okay. Right. Kirby. I see, that's nearly said Kirsty.
What is the
Laird's
name?
What's the Laird's? What is the Laird's name?
Colin McLaren.
Yay!
Okay, Debbie.
Yes.
Who was in charge of prisoners according to Finch?
Solicitor Gray.
Smart ass. Debbie. I mean Kirby, sorry.
Master.
Okay. What is Perkins' first name?
Cedric.
Smart ass. Debbie.
Yes.
Who knocked Ben unconscious?
Ooh, I can't see.
I don't know that one.
You won't get this Truss? One.
Pardon?
Truss?
Good. She got it.
Kirby.
Mazda.
Okay, let's have a look. What game did Perkins want to play with Polly and Kirsty?
I know.
Whist.
You need 4 for whist.
Debbie.
How much time did the doctor ask of Perkins?
I didn't
10 minutes.
I didn't hear the question, so.
No, yeah, she's not speaking very loudly. She's just.
How dare you!
Speaking too loud, too close to the microphone.
You told
her. Right. Kirby.
Kirby, yes.
Master.
What was the name of Trask's ship?
I've got it in my notes. Hang on.
Grief. Here we go.
5.
I 4, don't remember. 3. Sorry.
Go on then, Debbie.
You'd remember that if that was a name. The Annabelle.
Oh, Debbie. There it is in my notes. Darn.
Go Debbie. Back.
Okay. Debbie? The doctor nearly let it slip. How long Kirsty's plight would last? What did he nearly say?
Beg your pardon?
Do you want me to read that question so it's in English for you? Give it here. Oh, no, you closed it down doing that. Oh, no, I've lost my place. Right then, the doctor nearly let it slip how long Kirsty's plight would last. What did he nearly say?
Whose 7 question years. Is this?
Pardon, dear?
7 years.
Thank you. Correct was the answer to that. Score update.
Okay.
Let me do this. Just getting
real. Score update.
I'm getting a tense, nervous headache here. I might need some Anadin.
Relieved by T-Joe. <T-Jo.
laughs> Last place for 12 points is Adam.
Should
In
be me.
Second place with 22 points is Kirby.
That's better.
And in the lead with 25 points is Debbie.
Of course.
I think I know how this is going to pan out. Right, whose question is it now? Kirby.
Okay. How much money did the girls...
Whose question?
Oh, bloody hell, I said it was Kirby, for goodness sake!
I did not hear that, sorry.
Listen!
How much money did the girls have left when they met up the doctor?
I don't remember.
That's not what the question is. Oh, yes, it was. You don't know, okay, good.
Now, Debbie, do you want to answer that?
70 guineas.
I've got to get that
Ding.
Right.
Correct. Debbie.
Yes.
What did Trask bring to Grey's cold heart? Wait, I got the wrong one.
I like that question.
I got the wrong one.
What do you mean you got that? Whose question is this? The four one. Now? That,
it was
it's
Debbie.
For me.
Yeah.
We'll try and get yeah. rid of the right question
what,
this time.
What seal was on Kirsty's ring?
Oh, good grief.
The Stuart seal.
Now, I think Kirby can guess what question he's about to get.
Yeah.
Because you just read it out.
A little wine.
Or wine is the correct answer.
It's a bit like a viaduct, that particular
question. Okay.
Debbie.
Yes.
How did Ben survive?
The Houdini trick.
Kirby.
Mazda.
How much for delivery on the prisoners to the plantation?
How much for the delivery of the prisoners to the plantation?
Oh, 3,500 guineas. Wow, that's a fortune.
God's sake. Debbie?
Yes? What did Kirsty give to the lad?
A pistol.
For God's sake.
Kirby?
Master?
Who did the doctor make out was the prince?
Jamie. These questions are easy. Come on.
Okay. Debbie.
Yes.
What is the battle cry of the Highlanders?
Oh my god. I couldn't actually get that. I tried to, but I couldn't. I know I did.
Kirby?
I don't know.
Hey, at last!
What was it?
Craigature!
Well, that's what I thought it was. Craigature, like that, and I've just written gobbledygook.
Okay. Right, no.
Yeah, it's Kirby. Is it Kirby?
It's Kirby, yeah.
It is Kirby.
Where did Willy state they would set sail for?
Good grief. What did I ask
that question?
Go on.
Okay, what did Perkins do
Debbie.
To
Gray?
Yes, this is Debbie's question.
Yeah,
yes.
No. What did Perkins do to Gray that gave him great pleasure?
I think he flicks his nose.
Pardon?
I think he flicks his nose or something.
I know.
Nope.
Go on then, Kirby.
Snaps his fingers.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Correct. Now, Kirby.
So two questions left. No, there isn't. Hang on.
Master.
Now, Kirby.
Master.
What did Perkins do to Gray that gave him great pleasure?
We just did that.
Oh, right. Why did Jamie save the Doctor, Ben and Polly?
Excuse me, say again.
Why did Jamie save the Doctor, Ben and Polly?
Why did he? He didn't go along with the ship. I'm not quite sure.
No.
I think I know.
Debbie, go on.
He fancies his chances better here.
Oh, okay.
No. It was to guide them through the glen.
Oh, that's right. To find the TARDIS. Duh.
Okay.
Right, Kirby, your question.
The last one we
Master.
Special.
I thought it was Debbie's.
Well, unfortunately, some donut who's trying to read these questions out has actually managed to either miss one out completely.
Huh?
Because.
Donut!
Yes, so let's see what. So I can find any of the questions that you didn't
read
out.
Do you have donut shops on the Isle of Wight?
Yes, we do, yes. They're called bakeries.
I didn't miss one.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Come over here and have a Krispy Kreme sometime. They're really good.
They're good, aren't they? We've got them. Let's go over to Southampton.
They must have done, because either somebody's answered two questions, or it's because it, mathematically, it should be Kirby's question, and then Debbie's question.
Why don't we stop while we're ahead, then?
No, we're not going to stop while we're ahead, then. Shut your face.
John.
Oh, dear. I don't know what's going on here. Oh, we'll just have to carry on. Right then.
So, make it a free-for-all if it's the last question.
Oh, two questions, free-for-all questions then. My microphone stand.
Sorry.
Right then, free-for-all question number one.
Where did Grey's contract end up?
I know.
Go on in, Kirby.
In the doctor's pocket.
Oh, dear.
What?
Debbie?
You want any answers, Debbie?
We see him take it.
Yeah, he takes that out of his pocket.
Yeah.
Well, according to the one I watched, it said taken out of someone else's pocket.
No, it was in his coat.
It was in his coat pocket.
I'll give him that one, but I'm pretty sure it was
Ben.
I'll give him that one. I'm pretty sure it was Ben's pocket, according to the one I watched, anyway.
No.
back and watch it.
No, no, I am not going back to watch it.
The last question.
That's correct, by the way. I've given you that as a correct... what's his name again?
Kirby.
Yeah. Go on.
The last question, everyone.
Free for all.
Why did the doctor say Jamie could go with them?
I know.
Go ahead.
Only if he teaches him to play the bagpipes.
Oh, yes.
Correct. And we have...
No, we don't. What? We've changed the way the quiz works now. So don't just launch into... Oh, I've gone... 10, 20, 33. All right, that's the intermediate score. And that is 10, 20, 30...
Don't listen.
Oh, ooh, that was close, Debbie and... what's his name again?
Kirby.
And 19. Right, so Kirby predicted that Debbie would have more scores at this particular stage of the proceedings.
And you were correct.
He was indeed correct. Therefore, his score changes to... Yes.
60.
Debbie predicted that I would be ahead at this stage.
And you were wrong.
Therefore, her score doesn't change. And I predicted that Debbie would be ahead at this stage.
So your score changes.
Yes. So these, therefore, Fred, are the new scores.
And we have the results in.
Good.
So, in last place... with 34 is Debbie.
Yay!
In second place with 38 is Adam. And the winner is Kirby with 66.
For the second week running. I think I'm very surprised Debbie's an intellectual woman, but she hasn't worked out there's some sort of pattern going on here. Each week she doesn't choose herself as a potential winner of the show and loses. So I would be, now if I was somebody who's going to dish out advice to people, I would suggest she picked herself as the potential winner and she might actually win the
week. Selling my body to do that.
Isn't that interesting, Kirby?
Well done, Kirby.
Every British cell in my body refuses to vote for myself.
Well, I vote. No, I don't want to vote for myself.
Hello, Isla.
Right.
Hello, Isla.
I think we better move on to news.
Bella said hello.
News? There's news?
No, but I'm going to look at it anyway.
There's not much.
No, there isn't, is there? Series 1 has been named as the most frequently bought drama series in the entire 40-year history of BBC Worldwide Showcase event. Of what? Oh, Doctor Who. Sorry. So that's quite interesting in itself.
Is bought as digital or bought as DVDs or what?
It doesn't say what genre, but I will say that it's quite cheap if you want to buy the series on iTunes. I think it's about a tenner.
I have it on DVD, so there.
Yeah, but when I bought it on DVD, it was about 50 quid. It was all when it first came out, so it was quite an expensive version.
I don't remember how much it cost.
BBC Books.
It's got a really cool cover that it's like a transparent cover with the Doctor and Rose on it.
Yeah, I got one of the Doctor Who series covers. It had like a 3D thing going on it. I can't remember which one it was now. BBC Books has published a non-fiction book bringing together a day-to-day collection of key points of Doctor Who's history and narrative. What's that say? No. I wanted Isabella to read it. I'm trying to educate this child. Thank you, Debbie. 369 Days of Memorable Moments and Impossible Things is written by Justin Richards and released on the 10th of March. Ooh. My bride for the afternoon is rearranging our meeting, so I won't be going out this afternoon there.
Right. Should we do the most loved shows on the iPlayer?
Not yet, no, because I'm doing these. Oh, yeah, go on.
I dare you. Right, at 12 is War and Peace. 11, Council House and Crackdown.
No, it doesn't say and Crackdown, it just says Council House Crackdown. It doesn't say and, but where's the and?
I don't care.
Right. You don't care.
At 10, Sherlock.
Yes.
Yay.
9, Paul Dark.
Mm. Master probably watched Sherlock, right?
No, I haven't watched it yet. You told me not to, so I deleted it.
At 8, The Apprentice.
No. You watch Sherlock from the beginning. It is brilliant.
See what I have to put up
because
with?
Because your wife got up.
No, I
just got a bit of sore throat.
News website up right. in it.
Okay. Well, don't get the Doctor Who website up then. I've got it here. Isabella
can read it. It should be better now. Anyway.
But did you see, Isabella, what I have to put up with interruptions? Tell you what, if I had five pounds.
Sorry, I'm in the middle of a lady. Come on.
If I had £5 for every interruption.
Come on,
Mummy. Oh, good on, good grief.
I've got to go back.
Oh, hang on a second.
Let's go. Come
on.
Bye bye, everyone.
Thanks for that, Isabella.
Bye.
Thanks for that.
You carry on reading that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to have to, doesn't
it? What on
earth? I've just been abandoned. Yes, Isabella's friend Heather's just arrived.
We cyclone just walked through your house.
Isabella's friend Heather and her sister and mother have just arrived for hair cutting.
Isabella has gone off.
She's got slightly distracted, shall we say? Right then, yeah. She was saying, I'm talking about this chart of most voted. What's it? What is it to do with it? So the iPlayer Doctor has been voted. No, never mind.
The Apprentice.
Hang on a sec, let me finish. I know what she got up to, but I'm trying to explain what it's all about. It's to do with popular dramas on iPlayer, isn't it? So she got up to number 8, The Apprentice. Number 7 was A Great British Bake Off. Number 6 was Casualty.
That's a drama.
I like Casualty. It's good.
I don't like Casualty.
Well, I do. I never watch it, but I do like Casualty.
I like Sherlock.
Strictly isn't a drama either. So what are you talking about, drama?
It's Most Loved Shows.
Oh, shows, is it? Okay. Yes, yeah, so where do we get up to? Yeah, so number 5 was Strictly Come Dancing. Number 4, Doctor Who. Number 3, Match of the Day. Number 2, I didn't think Match of the Day was available on iPlayer for reasons that Premier League has to stop broadcast and repeat of Premier League games. Mm-hmm. Anyway, number 2, Next Step. Never heard of it. And number 1, EastEnders. So that's that little feature.
Never heard of it.
2016 Doctor Who Comics Day announced. Titan Comics have announced this year's global Doctor Who Comics Day event will take place on Saturday, the 9th of July, 2016. Doctor Who Comics Day is a global event inspired by Titan Comics Doctor Who comic books. It's in its third year. The event is set to be even bigger with new comics and collection signings and events across the globe.
Oh, I wonder if this is the same day that Free Comics Day is.
Well, I don't know. BBC.
Well, let me look it up.
Pardon?
We should do this because you can send off for a kit.
A kit?
Hmm.
Well, what do you? What
an event kit to host your own reading group event on Doctor Who Comics Day.
I haven't got time to do stuff like that. So BBC Audio release schedule. January features Doctor Who and the State of Decay, written by Terence Dixon, read by Jeffrey Beavers. February features The Space Museum, written by Glyn Jones and read by Maureen O'Brien. Cool. March it features A Death to the Daleks, written by Terence Dixon, read by John Coleshaw. Almost friend of the show, if I remember to actually turn on the microphone and record him when I met him. April features Cyberman The Invasion, written by Ian Marta and read by David Troughton. May features Doctor Who The King's Demons, written by Terence Dudley and read by Mark Strickson. June features Doctor Who The Claws of Axos, written by Terence Dix. Didn't say it was read by. July features Doctor Who The Sontaran Experiment, read by Ian Marta. Written by Ian Martin.
It's hard for him to read.
Shut up, Curly.
He's dead.
I'd like to be able to read one of those out. That would be so cool.
Meanwhile, other audio adaptations of novels and original recordings include The Witch Hunters, Shadow and the Glass, Memory of Winter, A Morality Tale, Shakedown, Scream of the Shalka, and Illegal Alien.
Master?
Yes.
Doctor Who Comics Day is July 9th, but Free Comic Book Day is May the 7th, so I don't know why they're different.
Nor do I. Target reissues in 2016. This would be interesting for people who like to frequent whowon.co.uk, as they are Doctor Who book specialists. Notice the way I segued a mention of our sponsors into this particular feature very cleverly.
Well, it's good because that's where I get my books from.
What? You get your books from Who Won?
Who won.co.uk?
Well, I can tell you what. The BBC Books have announced that seven of the original Doctor Who Target novelisations are to be reissued on the 28th of April, reflecting each of the seven Doctors from the range, featuring Doctor and the Zabi, Doctor and the Web Affair, Doctor Who and the Dinosaur Invasion, Doctor Who and the Genesis of the Daleks, The Visitation, Vengeance on Varos, and Battlefield.
What's that, Doctor Who and The Visitation?
No, it's not. Bedford Who Charity Con. The second Bedford Who Charity Con takes place in April, and the organisers are offering a discount for anyone who reads about the convention on Doctor Who News. Hey. The event raises money for Bedford Food Bank, a local charity providing emergency food for people in crisis. Each month, some 500 children and adults are fed who would otherwise go hungry. This year's event takes place on Saturday, the 23rd of April, 2016.
In Bedford, I assume.
With confirmed guests including Katie Manning, Deborah Watlin, Sophie Aldred, and John Leeson. Tickets are Can I just read about the tickets? Tickets are £40 for adults.
I was doing my John Leeson imitation.
Oh, you were, okay. Tickets are £40 for adults, £20 or for 14 to 18 year olds. It's pretty good because 18 year olds don't normally get a discount. They're full-time students, so I suppose they do. £50 for under 14, £15, not 50, for under 14s. Concession and family tickets also available. However, if you mention that you read about the event on Doctor Who News, you'll receive a 10% discount on the price. Further details on the convention's website and Facebook
page. Where's
Bedford? It's in Britain.
It's around the corner.
It's got to be around the corner, except it's across the Solent, isn't it?
How about Googling it, Kirby.
It will lose him even more.
if I Google it, my voice will
Google
go
it afterwards. Here. Then Doctor Who magazine increases circulation according to figures released by, or because we say about people buying it from whowon.co.uk. If you're in America, you just order it from there. You get it.
Whowon.co.uk.
Yes, it is. In a period of July to December 2015, the magazine had an official certified circulation of 26,514, up from 25,663 the previous six-month period. So there you go. And it says here, thanks to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, publicising the ability to buy on whowon.co.uk. There's also a thing, Deb, would you explain that to the Americans about the doctors supporting doctors thing? It's something to do with contracts of doctors, and I don't quite understand what it's all about. Could you please explain to them?
They're trying to force, I think, the NHS doctors to sign a seven-day week contract. Forgive me if I'm getting it wrong, because it's all getting garbled information. But they already work a seven-day week. Why on earth do you need to? I think they want to give them less money for contracting them for more hours when they go above and beyond anyway. Our NHS doctors are fantastic.
I know
people will have had bad experiences. Yeah, everybody does, but have good and bad to say about the NHS. But we can't lose it. We cannot lose the NHS. And this is what everybody is basically petitioning for, and the young doctors are being basically forced to jump through hoops. This current government have decided that it's heading towards privatisation. We can't do that. We did that to the trains, and it's ridiculous.
Somebody's actually pointed out in a very heavy way what these doctors are contending with by publishing a video of a car accident in which somebody got obviously killed because the person driving the car had fallen asleep because they'd been on, they were a doctor and they'd been on a continuous shift of 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they fell asleep and ended up someone getting killed because of it. So, that's what doctor supporting doctors is all about. Pictures of John Hurt and Peter Capaldi.
I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have the NHS doctors on at the weekend.
And I wouldn't be here today either because I would have choked to death on a shilling when I was about 2 years old.
Oh, shit!
Thank
you.
Here we go.
Yeah, but anyway, yes, we better talk about Lavazzi, Debbie.
Right, thanks so much, Debbie.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Go on,
I'm just pulling up the page, Laura.
I bet you were.
Okay,
right.
So I'll see you soon. Bye.
Hang on.
See you soon.
I have got something to say about Lavazzi. Thanks. Alpha Deb has just reminded me that I got an email from... so you don't have to get up the Vazi page because Meninda sent me this email. Adam, hope you are doing very well. We are doing a 15% off promotion on all Doctor Who products over the week. Anyone
free samples for podcasters.
Anyone can place order from Friday until Sunday midnight for any Doctor Who products, and use the promotional code DoctorWho15. That's one word, DoctorWho15. Although the 15 bit's a number, obviously. And get 15% off.
I was going to ask if it was 15 the number or 15 spelled out. But I'm pedantic like that.
They get 15% off. It is possible for you. So, is it possible to share your discount code on Friday on the Facebook group, along with the link to the Doctor Who category page? Don't share this before Friday, please. Oops.
Cut that out.
Oh, blast. Well, can you wait, please? Oh, wait till Friday. You've got a little bit of an advance notice on the show, but this has to be shared on the... He didn't say not to publish on the podcast.
You didn't hear that.
He didn't say not to publish on the podcast, but I will remind people that this code won't work until Friday, the 19th of February. Okay?
Until Sunday.
And it'll work all weekend, so please wait.
Hooray!
What?
No, I'm just saying hooray. I get paid tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
I'm buying tickets to the Brighton Comic Con tomorrow. So, but
ooh, yes.
I just looked on Google Maps where Bedford is. That's just a short drive. You could get there.
A short hop and a skip across the Solent.
Now then, listeners, if you like audiobooks, and I think I'm going to need an audiobook for my journey up to Newcastle on the 7th of October for the Dimensions 2016 convention in Newcastle, please come and join me. And if you want to go to that convention, go to 10thplanetevents.com and look up Dimensions 2016. I would be looking for an audio book from Audible, and audible.co.uk/20MB will get you a free audio book if you sign up to a 1 month free trial, and you get to keep the audio book even if you don't want to continue with a subscription.
There is so much choice. I am still
coming. Oh, yes,
she's staggered by the amount of choice available. Yeah. So that would be your only problem, is actually picking one. But
exactly.
That's what I'm looking to do, to have something to listen to on the way up and the way back to Newcastle in October. So you lovely, lucky 20MB listeners have the opportunity to take advantage of that particular feature. Now, yes?
Back when you were looking at Facebook stuff, did anyone... You were looking at posts on the Facebook group. Mm-hmm. You missed the post about where I was walking around Chinese New Year in Chinatown here in Atlanta,
yes,
and ran across
a
moisturizer bars in the shape of a Dalek and a
TARDIS. Oh, yeah, no, I didn't miss that. I saw that. I just didn't mention it. Sorry, yes, you did indeed, yes.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the lady who makes those is a Doctor Who fan, and
she's possibly
even going to be selling them at some conventions around here.
Excellent. Okay, right then. Now it's time to
realize something going back to the Highlanders.
Oh, go on then, yes.
Episode 2 was broadcast on the 24th of December 1966. So Polly spent the whole of that Christmas up until New Year's Eve in that animal pit.
How
New
festive.
Year's Eve was when they aired the third episode. So
how festive that was. Right then. Next week, we'll be looking at the Underwater Menace, which I'm particularly looking forward to because it's got an episode that I've never seen.
I've never seen it returned to
the BBC archive.
I haven't listened to the first episode, the missing one, but I've seen the other three.
I will say I have never actually listened to the audio of this episode, this story either. I've seen, the surviving episode, but I've never listened to this as a complete audio, so this is a mixture of reconstruction and live action, and so it's very exciting for me to get to see this particular story. And
when shall we discuss this?
We can't do it on Sunday because I'm at a M&S bowling night, so it'll either be Monday or could be Monday, maybe.
How about Monday?
It does rather depend on Deborah Melrose's availability.
I have to work at midday on Monday, but I can be there for the hour and a half beforehand.
There you go, then. So it could well indeed, and it looks like it's going to be Monday.
Monday.
Yes. So, sorry about the fraughtness I've had to put up with in this particular show. It's been quite stressful. I now need a cup of tea and maybe a biscuit. But thanks very much for joining us. At least you did. And I know Mary couldn't be bothered, and nor could Matthew and Ben and Reese, Robert, Alicia. Andy. And Ian Kirk, to a certain degree. But... for those of you who did, and tagged along to listen to it. Thank you very much. See you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Right, I'm going to go and attend to Isla.
She didn't even say goodbye. She just said she's going to attend to...
I said bye.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, they were so cute.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Isla. Oh, thank you for that.
Is an avvservices.co.uk production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk and audible.com. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.